Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice to other military veterans seeking to do the same. Today's episode number 235 with Brian Doherty.
I thought about the advice he gave me, and 2 weeks later I booked a ticket, and a month later I was on a plane to Hong Kong, and I went to a trade show for clocks and watches, and I just walked around and asked a lot of questions and found people that would help me out, found people that wouldn't help me out. But the bottom line is, you know, I just did it.
Well, Brian is a Navy SEAL turned entrepreneur in the midst of starting his own company just months after separating from the military. We haven't had a lot of guests on the show who are selling physical products, and Brian talks about what it's like to start a watch manufacturing company. We talk about finding expertise and knowing when to pay for it. We talk about how social media is often shunned in the military and yet absolutely essential in business. We talk about the value of the reserves for healthcare when you're starting your own company and have a family. We talk about much, much more. Apologies in the intro. I mispronounced Brian's last name. It is Doherty. And you will find links to his company in the show notes. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Brian.
So joining me today in Denver, Colorado, although we are separated by a few miles probably, we are doing this call remotely, but I'm honored to introduce to our guest, Brian Doherty. Brian, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, it's an honor to be on a show. You do a lot for the vet community, and from the bottom of my heart, no one has been willing to help me out more than a vet himself. And I really think people like you embody the American spirit and are what make America a great place. So thank you very much. It's an honor to be on the show.
Oh, thank you. I feel like I've got a lot of people to pay forward. So many people have helped me on my own journey. I feel like I'm paying off a massive debt of of others who have done the same for me. For listeners, first of all, I wanted to thank Scott Washburn, who made the introduction to Brian. And I wanted to give listeners a quick background on Brian. Brian is the founder of the Declan James Watch Company. He started out actually in commercial real estate, where he spent 6 years before joining the Navy as a Navy SEAL, where he served for 8 years, including two deployments with SEAL Team 7 and one shore duty assignment as a BUDS instructor. He separated from active duty just 10 months ago in March of this year, and the Declan James Watch Company is his first venture. So maybe to start things off, Brian, if you were talking to someone on active duty and they said, "Hey, Brian, what are you doing now? What is this Declan James Watch Company?" How would you explain what you're up to?
It's pretty simple. You know, when I separated, what I'm doing is I have my own watch company. I design and manufacture watches for the market, and I'm following my passion, essentially. It's really that simple.
How did this, where did the watch thing come from? Is this something you've always done? Or like what was the genesis of being interested in watches?
That's a good question. As far as I can remember, I've liked watches. I remember the first watch my buddy gave me in grade school. It was like a neon green, like digital shark watch in grade school. And that really started my lifelong obsession for watches. As I got older, my taste got more expensive. And eventually my taste outgrew my budget. it is what it is, but two of the best jobs I've ever had were selling watches, women's watches at Dillard's in high school and being a Navy SEAL. And all this kind of came about was as I was separating from active duty, I wanted to find something that I was passionate about doing and that people at the end of the day could say, you know, he's doing something that he loved to do. And so I started a watch company.
I feel like I've talked to so many people, and my own background has been around online technologies. And, you know, it's like easy when you have software, you kind of build it, you deploy it. If it doesn't work, you push out a bug fix. It's just kind of fairly lightweight. And so from that perspective, what you're doing to me seems so complicated because you've got this physical product. And could you just walk us through like how where are the watches made, and like how did you even go about figuring out how to find someone to make the watches?
Yeah, that's a good question. So when I was a Buds instructor, I started this endeavor, and I was struggling because I wanted my watches to be American made. And quite frankly, it's pretty hard to do that because there's not an industry for that. And so I was working Hell Week with another SEAL, and he happens to be the founder and owner of Resco Instruments. Another watch company. And I was talking to him, and he really pointed me in the right direction. And he said, hey, if you're going to do this and you're going to do it well and you're going to make money, you need to go overseas to do this. You need to go to Hong Kong. And, you know, for the listeners who don't know, Hong Kong is actually a very huge watch market. It might be the number one watch market in the world, arguably. You know, others might have their own opinion. So I thought about the advice he gave me. And 2 weeks later, I booked a ticket, and a month later, I was on a plane to Hong Kong, and I went to a trade show for clocks and watches, and I just walked around and asked a lot of questions and found people that would help me out, found people that wouldn't help me out, but the bottom line is, you know, I just did it.
And you were just you're some random white dude in Hong Kong, and you're just like, you're going to people and you're like, hey, I want to make a watch. Do you know if someone can help me? Or like, what did that even look like?
Right. So I went to this trade show, and as you know, they have these all over the world. We have them in America. So I started off in the middle of the trade show where all the big booths were, the fancy lights, the nice banners, all that stuff. And then I slowly got pushed out to the outside of the trade show where I was along the walls talking to people.
Because people were in the middle were just too expensive, or they wouldn't give you the time of day?
They're too expensive. They wouldn't give me a time of day. I didn't even have business cards to hand people. Yeah. I just went there with a pad, a calculator, and a magazine to show people what I wanted. And a lot of the people in the center said, we don't have time for you.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yep.
So I finally found someone who would help me out with the quantities that I wanted, and we just, you know, we sat down. I was ready to do business right then and there. We went back and forth. I left that trade show that night, and I felt uneasy about kind of like I'm just trusting someone who I just met. So the next day, my wife and I decided to set up an appointment with this company and go to their office. And it turned out their office was like in the middle of nowhere. We took a train. We didn't have GPS phone because we didn't have a signal. And we're just trying to figure it out. It was in this industrial area, real, you know, places probably we shouldn't have been, not knowing what's going on. And I finally made it to their office. And we sat down and we went over everything again. It was an attempt to build that relationship. And once I did that, things started falling into place.
What was the, I'm asking this, thinking of someone who's on active duty who wants to start something, when you went over there, what was your thought on like how many did you want to start with? Like how many units of or how many watches did you want? And then like what was the budget you had set aside for even buying that inventory?
So I wanted to make one unit to see how it turned out.
Yep.
But obviously that wasn't the case. The company I was working with, they made me purchase a larger quantity, and that's fine. It's just a little bit more. It was a little more risky from my standpoint.
Were most of the companies, was it like a minimum of 100 or 1,000 or 10, or what was what sort of answers were you hearing on that?
Most companies were either a minimum of 1,000 to 500.
Oh my God! Okay,
so that wasn't going to work with my budget, and that's what I'm saying. I got pushed out to the outside of the convention that I was at. And I found someone who would work with the quantity order that I wanted. Yeah. And I found someone who would build a prototype for me first, send it to me so I can look at it, wear it, analyze it, give feedback, and then tell them exactly what adjustments need to be made.
And you had built, or you had given them the spec. I'm assuming it's based on like, hey, you like watches, you know about watches, and you said you had like some magazines. So you're basically saying, hey, this is basically, I want it to look like this magazine here for this part and this magazine here for this part? Or how did you even give him the specs to build to?
Yeah, so that's exactly what I did. I told him first and foremost, I wanted Swiss movement. Swiss movement is the creme de la creme of watch movement. So I wanted to make sure that they were able to provide me a Swiss movement. Once I accomplished that, I literally went through magazines and said, I want this dial, I want this color, I want it to look like this. So I probably pieced together 10 different watches to make the one I wanted, and I ended up designing my own case too.
Okay.
So once I did that, you know, and these guys are experts at what they do.
Yep. Did that? No drama. Did you have to find someone different for the case and for the packaging, or was it the same person that did both?
I found someone to do my packaging here in the United States. As far as the case went, they did everything for me. And that was one of my criteria, because I didn't know what I was doing. I just know I wanted to start this watch company.
Yep.
And so the less people I had involved, the easier it was going to be for me initially.
Yep.
Now knowing what I know, I feel more comfortable about getting from different suppliers and sources and putting it together on my own.
For someone listening, if they aspire to start a company that's a physical product, what advice would you give to them? I mean, is that, would you advise that they do what you did, which is like kind of start small, start with one person doing everything? Or is there a way to educate themselves on how to source all of this stuff? Because this is a field I know nothing about. Like, it seems like there's the you know, in your case, it's the watch, it's the box around the watch, it's the packaging, it's the shipping. And how would you recommend that they figure that stuff out? Or is it just best to dive in and give it a try?
I will say this. I thought manufacturing a watch and designing a watch was going to be the hardest part of this endeavor, and it turned out to be the easiest part. So with that said, I would recommend someone dive into it. Just dive in. You got to go all into it. You know, for me, time and money are my biggest limitations here. So for someone who wants to do something and manufacture their own product, they really need to dive in. And I don't know, and they're going to make decisions based off their resources and their time. When, you know, just as an example, when I got my boxes manufactured here in the U.S., there was a big concern that it wasn't going to fit my watch. I set all the specs, everything there, and I ended up having to send out some watches to this box maker. In the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't know if they're going to get this right. I don't know if it's going to be what I want. I don't even know if I'm going to get my watch back. And a lot of times these manufacturers, they want money up front, which is fine. That's how business is done. But when you have limited time and limited resources, it can be a bit scary. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for instance, when I made my deposit overseas, I had no idea if they were going to deliver on the products that they said they were going to deliver. Mm. So I really think the best way, you know, you can always worry about stuff. Mm. You're always going to have these worries in life. I think the best way for someone, if I were to give advice to, I would say, you know, you need to just do it. Don't be afraid. You don't necessarily need a plan. Mm. And plan's always good, but first let's just do it. Get some moxie, do it. And that'll take you a lot further, I believe.
Do you, what was that hardest part? Because you said you thought that making the watch would be the hard part, but it wasn't. Like, what has been the most challenging aspect of starting a company so far?
I would say internet marketing and social media, because it is such a big part of our lives. The past 8 years, you know, I was in the SEAL teams where all that stuff was shunned. I didn't care about it. They never encouraged it. I never even had a Facebook account and any of that stuff. And now when I went to market, I had to have all the stuff. And I didn't know what I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just launched my website, and I thought, you know, I'm good to go. But I wasn't. You've got to register your website. There's these algorithms that you got to try to figure out and play so you get better rankings and people see you. And I finally ended up seeking the help of someone, and they really sat me down and explained everything to me. And my mind was just, it just blew up. I was like, I had no idea.
Was that, how did you find that person? Because I think it's so helpful to find those river guides who have knowledge that they can share with you. And was that, you know, the way that I've done this is I've reached out to friends and I've gotten their advice. I've paid people. I found like consultants that I can pay. And I used to be really cheap on that. And now it's more and more like, God, if I can throw money and have save 100 hours through someone else's time, great. But how did you find that person that kind of led to this marketing breakthrough?
Right. So I initially started off and I thought I was going to do the branding all myself. In the back of my mind, I was like, this is no drama. I can do this. I got it. And as I dove into it, I realized that it wasn't something I could tackle myself. So I ended up hiring a branding firm, Robin Young and Company, based out in LA. And she really just, she was able to take all my thoughts and ideas and just bring it together for me. I've been working with her for probably about a little over a year. And as you go down this journey, I mean, you know as well as I know, as the further down the journey you go, the more you realize you don't know and the more help you realize you need. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the further we went, I realized I need more help on internet marketing, so, search engine optimization, all that stuff. And it was really Robin who helped me find the right people. I mean, she had connections. Without Robin, I might not be where I'm. I wouldn't be where I am today, that's for sure, without her help. So finding someone really that you can trust and lean on and help is probably one of the most important things.
I love that. And I totally agree with you on just diving in, like, you know, take action, move forward. And then there's also this element of finding people to help out. And I think back to when I was at the Naval Academy, my brother and my best friend, every year we would go to Vegas for like a weekend and we would just, you know, go crazy and play cards and stuff. And I remember after a couple of years of doing this, I was playing blackjack and I just did some stupid move and the blackjack dealer was like, you really don't know what you're doing, do you? Like, no, I don't. And I got this, like, I think it was this realization where I'm like, man, if you're serious about making, you know, if you're dabbling in blackjack, you can dabble. But if you're serious about making money, there are books to read and there are experts and you can develop a skill set and that takes time. And I think of that sometimes with what you talked about with branding of like, okay, it's easy. I think it's great for veterans to dive in and get their hands dirty and a lot of the stuff you can figure out. But a lot of it, I think you'll find as you get into, let's say, Facebook ads, you're going to realize there is such a depth to just that one tiny thing. There is so much there. And there are great free resources that you can watch online if you have hours and hours to watch, and that's great. And sometimes it's worth investing that time to build up that core skill set. But it sounds like with, was it Robin Young or Robin and Young?
Robin Young and Company.
Yeah, Robin Young and Company. It sounds like they were ones where you're able to go there and say, okay, I'm going to give you money in exchange for your decades of experience where you can take what I'm saying and you can help me not make $100,000 mistakes or take years to do this. And I think that's a really – it takes a lot of smarts to figure out what to do that for and what to just bring on yourself.
Yeah, you know, I agree with what you said. And as an entrepreneur, you're going to make mistakes and you're probably going to waste some money that you shouldn't be wasting. You just hope it's not a lot of money.
Yep.
When you find someone like a Robin to help you out, they really are able to keep you in your left and right lateral limits.
Yep. Yeah, and it's I'm guessing that most veterans, myself included, I think our tendency is, I got this, let me do this. And I think that that's an incredible asset as an entrepreneur, but I think it could be also a really big liability if you're not willing to, as you did, as you're willing to let go of some of the control and find that expertise.
It's hard to let go.
Yeah. Yep.
It's hard to let you know that.
What is your life like right now? So you're, you know, let's say six plus months into starting this company. And what does your day-to-day look like?
I'm pretty busy, so I'm still reserve Navy SEAL. So this is gonna sound weird, but I'm active in the community still, but I'm not active duty. So I spend a lot of time doing my reserve obligations with the Navy here in Colorado and in San Diego, and I'm doing some real estate development on the side for a company and running Declan James Watch Co. In addition to having a family. I've officially entered into that's life category.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty busy, which I like being busy. Time management is super crucial now. Whereas before, when you're active duty in the military, you kind of just wait for people to tell you what to do and you do it. Mm. In the civilian side, you know this as well as I do. No one's going to tell me what to do.
Yep. And I want to point out for our listeners, one thing great with what Brian's doing is the people I've interviewed who continue with the reserves, it seems to be a good source of connection. Like Brian's able to maintain this camaraderie with that part of his life and his identity. But also, I'm imagining it's a decent help on the supplemental income of having some side amount of money come in from the reserves to be able to help with things.
Yeah, you know, I don't make a lot of money in the reserves, but what I do get is very inexpensive health care. And I have a family, so that health care is invaluable to me that I get. And I would encourage anyone who's separating from active duty, if they're having heartache about it, you know, look into the reserves, because you still get that camaraderie. Like I said, you know, no one's helped me out as much as a vet has. And so you kind of get that brotherhood or that sisterhood. It's still there.
That's great. And then the other piece of Brian's story I want to call out for listeners is I personally love what you're doing. If you've got the watch company, you've got the reserves, you've got real estate, like you've kind of got your side hustles to make it work. And I was just talking with a friend over the weekend who's starting a company, and the takeaway he had that's been really helpful for him is he is all in on his business, and he's also starting to do consulting on the side. And ideally, the consulting is somewhat related to the direction of the company, but doesn't have to be. But I think that the dream that many people listening might have would be to like go all in on an idea and do that full time. And that's really hard to do if you don't come from a trust fund, you have a spouse that makes a lot of money, or if you had a career where you made a lot of money, which for most of us in the military, that's not the case. And so you may have to be creative like Brian is and find some way to do something on the side to get some income, because all of this costs money. It's not even just keeping him and his family afloat. He's having to spend money on inventory. He's having to spend money on branding and a website. All of this stuff adds up.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I want to caveat off that. When I say all in, I don't mean quit your day job all in. There's going to be a time when you're going to do that, but all in means going all in with your heart, with your ideas, and all that.
Yep. And most businesses, it takes, you know, one if not multiple years to be able to pay yourself a reasonable amount of money, and so being able to find some way to stay afloat in the meantime is really important.
Absolutely.
Where is the company at right now? Like, what's the status?
So we've launched. I'm up and running for business. It's good. We're going good. I've sold watches. I'm getting positive feedback. And, you know, we're looking to continue to grow and to continue to get the word out there that I'm here and to really get brand awareness going.
And if someone listening, if your story is resonating with them and they would love to support you in some way, what's a way that they could help you and your company right now grow?
Well, they can buy a watch.
Yep.
Or they can, you know, just spreading the word is, you know, word of mouth is one of the best marketing tools that's out there. I mean, you think about it, think about yourself when about a product or something, you're looking for a service or a product, you hear it from your friend, you're more likely to buy it because your friend recommended that.
Is there any resource you would recommend to listeners? It could be about entrepreneurship, it could be something that's helped you learn about marketing or advertising. Is there any like a book or podcast or conference or anything that you would encourage them to check out if they're interested in entrepreneurship?
I would encourage them to check out your podcast. your listeners don't know that we spoke prior to me separating active duty about 8 months ago. And I remember talking to you, and one of the best pieces of advice that you gave me was, when I'm talking to people, ask them, do you know anyone else who can help me out? Mm. And when you said that to me, a light bulb went off, and I was like, that's ingenious, because it opened up. So when I started doing that, it opened up so many other doors for me. And, you know, I had my best friends who would, I'd ask for help and like, sorry, I can't help you. And they're not thinking about it. But once I started, do you know anyone else who could help me? Then they're like, well, yeah, I do. And that introduction led to another introduction. That resource led to another resource. So I think what you're doing in this podcast that you put out is great. And it's definitely one of, I would recommend it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's good for me to hear that advice coming back from you, because it's something I forget to do as well. I do so many sales calls throughout the day, but I think you're right of just always getting in that habit. I right before I joined you, I had a call and I used that phrase too of like, hey, who else do you know that I should be talking to? And it's just, you've probably seen this firsthand. It takes a lot of effort to get a hold of someone. And then when you do, you know, if you can find a more efficient way to get in front of more people, which is through a referral, that's the way to do it. That allows you to take every conversation and turn it into three. And that's when you get that force multiplier that works in your favor.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of to expand on your question, just ask questions. You know, that's really what you need to do as an entrepreneur, is just ask questions. Mm-hmm. And have a little bit of humility, knowing that you don't know everything, that you need to learn everything, and just ask questions. And is there anyone else that can help me? We'll open so many doors for you.
I love that. You know, the thing I realized just last month is a shift for me is I'm trying, because I have so many calls throughout the day, and it's like I'm trying to now treat those calls as as a student, you know, even if I'm trying to sell the other person, approaching it as like, what can I learn? And what I realize is I can kick into sales mode where I get on a call and it's like this attitude of like, I'm going to make this person buy my product no matter what. But when I approach it instead of like, having a conversation, maybe it's a good fit, maybe it's not, maybe I can learn from them if it's not a good fit, why it's not and what they're actually doing, like that's really valuable. And so I love what you're saying, because if you adopt that mindset of just being curious and open, that can lead, you know, in every conversation, that can lead to some really great things.
Yeah. And, you know, through that, you're going to notice, or your listeners will notice, that they're going to develop a relationship a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe people buy relationships. They don't buy a product, they buy a relationship.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm thinking too of the times where I was selling. And if I was focused, like you're saying, on the relationship, if I was focused on just a conversation like you and I are having, I would have heard the feedback that like what I was selling wasn't the right product. And I think I would have internalized that better and made some tweaks in the product that could have had us sell more. So I love that thought of just putting the relationship first. And I also like that because I feel like most veterans, most people on active duty, they spike in relationships. That's like one of their strengths, is being able to relate with people, being able to get along with people, and bringing that as an asset into the civilian landscape is a pretty incredible thing to bring to bear.
And I think that's what makes veterans such good entrepreneurs.
I agree. Well, any final words of advice if someone is thinking about entrepreneurship, or just in general about that transition to a civilian career, before we wrap up?
Yeah, you know, again, it can be a scary transition. And I know I had some reservations about making the transition myself. And I don't want any vet to not separate from the military because they're scared to, or they don't feel like they have opportunity. I don't want any active duty individual not separate from the military because they don't feel like they have any opportunity or they're too scared to. There's plenty of opportunity out there. And you know, it is, the civilian life is also good. Mm-hmm. This is also good. And so make that jump. And if you're going to get into entrepreneur and start your own business, do it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're known for getting stuff done. And that's what we do best, is get stuff done. So just dive in there and do it.
Awesome. Well, Brian, thanks for your time today. For listeners, you can learn more at the Declan James Watch Company. I'll have a link in the show notes to that, and as well as Scott Washburn's interview, and also get the link for Robin Young and Company as well, if you're looking to see what sort of company does that sort of branding work. Thank you so much, Brian.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our Director of Outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.